Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back recording on November 2nd, and we are previewing the upcoming match, the upcoming game this weekend against the Packers, our rival. The Lions are 3.5-point underdogs, and with the big trade this week and everything like that, we got a lot to talk about previewing this upcoming game. But we got the Packers on the ropes. They are struggling mightily, but we'll get into all that in a moment. But before we do, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the other two. So we got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
And Connor.
What up, Lions fans?
All right. So, gentlemen, the Lions, 3.5-point underdogs. This game is a noon kickoff central, 1 o'clock Eastern at Ford Field. And the Packers coming off a four-game losing streak right now. A 27-22 loss to the Giants, a 27-10 ass-kicking at home to the Jets, then losing to Washington, the only team we beat this year, 23-21, and then a pretty sound... They lost by 10 and covered against the Bills, 27-17, but it really wasn't that close if you watch the game. They had a late touchdown there at the end. So the Packers struggling a lot, and the Lions coming in this league still limping along on injury report. Swift, what is up with Swift? I mean, this is just another year of injuries. Campbell said he probably pushed him too hard last week. We were talking about it on a podcast, like he looked very not like himself in the run game, and now he's been downgraded. He did not practice at all today.
No one knows, because we thought he'd just be fine after the bye week. Like, it was just, you know, healing up a bit. But I don't know if there's something more serious. People are starting to ask the question if he's a long-term solution. He's elite, but if he's never on the field, you know, right. I don't know.
No, exactly. Yeah, I thought he'd be coming back strong that last game, but no. He obviously wasn't ready, or I don't know if it's a mental thing or a physical thing, but... Yeah, it's frustrating as a fan to watch, because he's very talented, but, you know, like you said, Connor, he's not in the field. What good is he? So
I feel like he's going to be that guy we talk about in 15 years. Like, oh, DeAndre Swift, man, he had it, but he didn't have it. I'm just afraid of that.
Well, we talk about Javid Best in that way in some degree.
That's true. Yeah. There's a few.
Javid Best had it.
Who was that receiver that went crazy? Who was after? I remember he had two offensive pass interference calls in the Saints playoff game. Who was that?
Trying to jog my memory here.
Ryan Broyles, right?
No,
not Broyles.
Anyways, that guy, whoever he was, I always thought he was going to be really good, but he didn't work out. But anyways.
He was good for one game. Remember? He had a career game, and then he went nuts.
Yeah.
Lost his mind.
This was in the Lions Saints playoff game, a receiver?
Yeah, UJ knows who I'm talking about. I think he does.
I mean, I have the whole stats up from that game.
I think he had multiple offensive pass interference calls that game.
Huh.
I thought he did. I could be wrong.
None of these names. I mean, all the people who had Titus Young?
Titus Young, yes.
Oh, okay.
That's him, Titus Young. Titus Young.
Yeah. No, I remember... At least I was hyping him up. I'm sure other people were too. It's hard to remember back then, but that's a different thing than Swift. That's him going insane. versus Swift just not playing. But there's always those players, you know, that you're like, what if something had gone a little differently for them? I hope that doesn't become Swift, was my whole point.
I feel you. Yeah, I hope not either.
I mean, it's hard to say, you know, we're not seeing him practice every day and what the guy's going through and everything, but I just don't see that driven guy, you know, like that. I don't know, maybe he wants to be the best, but it's just not showing on the, you know, in public. So I don't know. It's just frustrating.
Sewell had he had a child this week, so he did not practice today. But he'll be back out there, I'm sure, for Sunday. Matt Nelson did not practice. If he didn't practice, Chase Lucas, our late round draft pick, didn't practice. AJ Parker, hip injury, didn't practice. Probably too busy trying to chase everybody running by him last week. Since didn't keep anybody in front of him last week. Brock Wright is still coming back from his concussion. I'm not sure if he'll be ready to go, but if he is back, he'll have a bigger role than he did the week before. if you want to hear all our reactions to the TJ Hockenson trade, by the way, go to our last episode on Apple or Spotify and look up our reactions to the TJ Hockenson trade and all the impacts it has on Lions going forward. We're not going to be covering that in this podcast. We're just previewing this upcoming game against the Packers. So Josh Reynolds limited in practice. Derek Barnes also limited. So is Frank Ragnow and Charles Harris. And then Deshaun Elliott looks like he'll be back this week. So that's from the injury report side of things. The Packers, though, let's talk about this team for a moment because it's kind of fun because they're bad right now. They're not a good team at the moment. They are really struggling. As I mentioned, losing four straight. They started 3-1. Now they're 3-5. Aaron Rodgers looks really sad. I don't know why he can't be that sad.
So he's making sad.
$30-40 million.
He looks sad when they're winning too, though. Just now it looks more appropriate.
He just has really bad body posture all the time, I think.
Maybe he's an ineffective leader in that sense then. Because this team's struggling. And the offense is struggling. They haven't scored more than 30 points in a game this year. And the defense. I want to talk about defense because I told people this when they hired the guy, or I told Packers fans this when they hired the guy, and they were a pretty good defense last year, but they've taken a mighty step back. But Joe Barry, ex-Lions, 0-16 defensive coordinator, now the Packers defense coordinator. I don't know. It's amazing how he got back to being a defensive coordinator. I can see it as assistant. Fine, he's probably got some knowledge, but man, this is a defense with 7 first-round draft picks on it. And a top 10 defense from last year, which was coached by Joe Barry. So I'll give him, you know, those accolades. But, man, they are really bad. We know how bad the Lions are in the run game. The Packers are neck and neck with them. Packers have given up. So Lions have given up 154 yards per game on the ground this year. The Packers, 141.3. So that's where to attack this team. The Lions are third worst in the league. Packers, fourth worst, if you want to know where they stand overall. But, so Jamal, I don't want to see Swift out there this week, honestly, because I don't think he's ready to go. It doesn't seem like he is. I would put a lot of money on props for Jamal Williams this week. I think he's going to have a big week this week. What do you guys think?
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. He's going to get the bulk of the carries. We'll see a little more of Craig Reynolds, I think. Yeah, because I believe you're right, Z. I think they're going to try to do the ground game. Attack it heavy in this game. So, and if it's effective, yeah, these guys are going to have big games, both of them, I think.
I hope Goff can connect enough with his receivers to keep them honest and keep the run game humming. It's going to be an interesting week for sure for this offense, especially just losing Hawk. I'm very curious to see like how the whole team responds, I guess.
This wasn't a Hawk-centered offense, though. So I don't think they're going to lose a ton by losing him, in my opinion. I mean,
I more mean like the idea of like trading away one of your players. To me, that doesn't signify that your GM like believes in this team.
Yeah, well, like back to the Hawk thing for a second, though. You know, I've watched every game, and it's just like when Hawk does something big, it's like, "Hey, Hawk!" Like, it's a surprise, kind of. Because most of the games, he hasn't done a whole lot. He's had a couple of real big games and a couple of plays here and there. But you're right, Z. He's just he's not like carrying the offense or anything like that. So I don't know.
I have this bad feeling he's going to turn into Kelsey at the Vikings. And
I mean, the Vikings are notorious for underperforming tight ends as well.
No, I don't think Kirk Cousins is some elite quarterback or anything. I just feels like that's something that happens to the Lions. So
Rudd Dog has joined. Rudd Dog, what do you think about losing a Hawk, or at least against the Packers this week? Is it going to have a large impact, mild impact, no impact?
I think I heard some of being already said. What has Hawk's impact basically been to this point? I mean, a little bit, in moderate, some decent impact from game to game. Some games he's really looked good. I mean, but I wouldn't call him the motor of our, or like the heart of our offense by any stretch. Like, what is he average? Like, maybe 42 yards a game tops? Like, he's not one of the top targets in the league or anything. He's a nice valve when we've used him, but no, I'm.
Is a tight end ever truly the heart of the offense anywhere?
Well, there are, like, I mean, you take Kelsey
maybe
off
Kansas
of
City.
Kansas City. I mean, yeah, you think Mahomes is going to do nearly as good without him?
I think Mahomes will still do very well.
He'll do well, but he, I mean, I'm just saying that guy has been such a blanket for him for a long time. But, I mean, and how many times this year I've already been like, oh, Hawk, oh, no, that's right, making a good play. So, you know, I already feel like he wasn't even the only thing exciting about our tight end group. So,
yeah. I mean, our tight end group really isn't too exciting, but I do think they have, I think Brock Wright is a solid tight end. If not, you know, maybe tight end one of the future, a solid piece to have going forward at tight end too.
Yeah.
But I think they like him a lot more than we even realize. That's what I was reading after this.
I hope he's not the tight end of the future.
I don't know.
He's a better blocker.
He could surprise because he wasn't utilized
very heavy in
college.
He's at least on par.
You don't think he's better than Hawk was at blocking?
I wouldn't say either are elite. I mean,
I heard Hawk was ranked like 42nd in the league at blocking.
I think Brock Wright's a better pass blocking tight end. I'll say that. Hawk. Ooh. I mean, I've already spoken about my thoughts on his block.
You got the analytics or whatever. You subscribe. What do they say? What do they rank us at?
I don't have PFF this year.
Oh, okay.
I just kind of pick it. Yeah. It wasn't worth the cost.
Yeah, fair enough.
PFF's not biblical anyways.
No, not biblical.
You're going to find a new player.
As I've always said, I've only said PFF's just a one metric.
It's a solid metric, though, because they put a ton of research into it. So it's worth, you know.
You're going to have to find a new guy to dial in on, because Hawk was the guy you bully every week in the chat. So you're going to have to find a new guy.
Oh, we'll find
who's it going to be?
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to find that guy. So we'll have to have offline conversations about who that guy is.
I just never was high on him. He would miss one or two.
I think he hinted already, Connor. He started smack talking Aleem McNeil last during the pod on.
Oh, Monday, McNeil. So maybe McNeil's
the guy. I think
that
might be Z's guy to go after.
He's the
now.
New guy. All right. You heard it here first. Aleem McNeil's Big Z's new guy. Anti-guy, I should say.
I didn't even said a word here.
Your silence is deafening.
Yeah, it's deafening.
I just said we don't have We don't have a dominant D tackle. Aleem McNeil is not that. I think at best he's a rotational or a...
Again, your argument is in our
You're helping
right
out
now.
My case. Thank you.
You're helping it.
He's a good piece to have, but we need more. Yeah, fine.
I think he's a starting caliber.
However you want
to
interpret it.
I don't know if he's stepped up to like some be a star, obviously, or anything, but he needs someone good next to him. That's
yeah, and he's our third round pick.
He's young yet.
But as I was saying, this Packers team, really, really bad on the ground, 141 yards per game they've given up. A little better in the pass game. They have a lot of solid talent in the back end with Jair Alexander, some other pieces as well. They did have Quay Walker, who got booted last week. He's their first-round linebacker out of Georgia, a guy we talked about in the draft.
Kicked out.
As a possible draft target. Yeah, he pushed a Buffalo Bills player that wasn't playing, like in street clothes, pushed him, so he got ejected from the game last week on Sunday Night Football.
Doesn't an ejection disqualify you from the next game?
To the Michigan State.
No, it's not college football.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you just pay a fine. But Rashawn Gary, really good end pass rusher. Preston Smith, Kenny Clark is still around. He's been solid. Devontae Wyatt, also a D-tackle they took in the first round this year.
The same team.
A guy we talked about. Eric Stokes has been pretty decent for them. Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos. So there's a lot of names on here. They are just not playing good enough defense to win. Although, in the past, their offense has been better and kept them off the field. So it's kind of back and forth. Because this Packers offense, they are really lacking wide receivers. Romeo Dobbs is their top receiver, and he's their fourth-round wide receiver from this year. Now, we had Amon-Ra last year as their mom, but we also weren't good. So
right.
Remember when we all wanted to draft Christian Watson, and then Williams came out of nowhere?
No.
I said
no to Christian Watson.
Is Watson bad? Is he doing bad?
I liked him.
Yes.
I'm not going to.
I mean, I liked him in the second round. I didn't want him where we got Jameson. So
he is what I said he was going to be in terms of he cannot catch the ball. This is a guy that had limited tape from North Dakota State.
He's like a Ted Ginn.
Elite speed, but I mean, look at the first play of the year for the Packers on offense. Wide open, 75-yard touchdown, right in the breadbasket. He drops it, kind of been the problem with this offense since. Their offensive line isn't as good either. David Bakhtiari is a shell of himself at left tackle. He's constantly going in and out.
Should
they actually rotate him in and out. Josh Myers, their center, is probably their best offensive lineman. Elgin Dakins is questionable. So, Rodgers been sacked a lot more this year. It's just not as good. They're still a pretty solid running team with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon as the 1-2 punch, but it's just not the same offense, as I mentioned. Haven't scored 30 points in a game this year. Now, will that change when they play the Lions defense? A decent chance.
Yeah.
Tends to happen.
Let's hope
that
not.
Way.
Let's hope not.
We are what ails most people. So we fix what ails most people. But another stat on the Packers, too. I was just looking around. I was reading some Packers sites, and they are the absolute worst team on fourth down in the league. The worst. Two out of, I believe, 11 opportunities, something like that. They are just not good.
This feels like another chance for our defense to ail that, though. It's not like we're great at defending those.
I think our defense is going to rise to this one.
They
really do. After what happened last week, it becomes a pride thing, and you know, a coach getting fired, serious shit, and players look at that seriously too. I mean, I'm sure they all love the guy, and you know, but beyond that, I mean, they see people are replaceable, and it's just going to put a new fire under them, at least temporarily.
So UJ, to your point, the Packers 2 for 11 on fourth down this year, 18%, worse in the league.
Yeah.
The Lions, who were 0-6 in a whole game going for on fourth down, way above them at 45%. If you take that game out, the Lions are actually 9 for 14 on fourth down this year.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, although there's some notable ones, like in the Vikings game or obviously New England with 6, but still more successful. I think they were 5 for 5 and what against the Redskins? I forgot what game they were like 5 for 5 on fourth.
Yeah,
probably the Redskins.
The Lions still, since I have the stats pulled up, Lions actually second in the league for going for it on fourth down this year, believe it or not. First is the Cardinals. So just a fun fact to throw out there since I have the stat pulled up.
So we're good at something.
Let's go.
That's the way. That's what we're talking about. Positivity.
Build on your strength.
Something good. All right.
The Packers didn't trade for anybody. We don't want to talk about the Packers more, but for this game though, on the defensive side, what are you looking for? Because I have something in mind, but I don't know if you guys want to go first. I just say what I'm looking for out of the defense.
I will start by saying I see them trying to go after Aaron Rodgers big time in this game, and I think they're going to try every kind of pressure you can think of. I think it won't be like playing the Dolphins, having dynamic receivers like that. So I think these guys will have a better chance of covering these guys. And I see big things for our pass rush in this game. That's what I see. I see Rodgers getting sacked multiple times, four or five times in this game.
That'd be awesome.
I like that.
That's what I see.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It's taking down the time the quarterback has to throw is ultimately what might make a difference. Like, yes, the receivers are bad, but if you give Rodgers enough time, he's going to punish you, and I don't think our secondary is good enough. So I think getting to the quarterback quickly will be key. And I'd like to see what the Packers run game does, but I don't know.
Yeah, winning with four will be big in this. I think we'll see pressures, but you always got to be careful when you try to pressure a guy like Rodgers. I think we're going to see them try to see what they can do with just four. And if guys like Pascal and Hutch and everyone, Kaminsky, can start getting home without blitzing, then that could be all the difference in this game. If you can rush only four against Rodgers, that gives you such a better chance of shutting them down.
I don't know.
Yeah, I absolutely think the Lions are going to try to go man in this game because of the weak receiving core that the Packers have. They're at least a start. Okuda probably on Lazard, maybe Dobbs. But this is not a good wide receiver core for the Packers. The Lions would take advantage of that, probably go to man so they can load more in the box against this run game and shut them down, which I think a lot of teams have been doing. I mean, look at the Jets. They had Sauce Gardner completely lock up everybody all day. The Bills did roughly the same thing. The deep passing isn't there for the Packers either, so maybe the Lions switched to too deep as well. Like a lot of defense in the league do that in general. But what I'm really looking for this week is Hutch is probably going to be double teamed like he is almost every week since he's been here. Who is the second guy to step up on this defense off the edge? We need somebody.
Pascal.
I'm hoping it's Charles Harris. He is not what he was last year.
Terry's healthy now.
Maybe a Quara, somebody. Yeah, or yeah, you're right.
Pascal's the guy I'm hoping takes another jump.
Well, yeah. I mean, the knock on Pascal was his pass rush. He's supposed to be good against a run, bad in pass rush.
Was he bad at pass rush? I just don't think he was like a finesse guy. I don't know. I don't remember him being bad and coming out.
Well, there's a lot of work in the pass rush.
Sure.
If he had a good skill coming out of the draft, it was his run defense, not his pass rushing. So I'm not expecting as much out of him there personally this year.
Maybe Okwara then?
I'm just looking for anybody, honestly, the second guy to step up opposite Hutch.
Yeah.
Because it's frustrating to watch him get double teamed constantly every week. I want to see him get freed up more. Because he is our best defense player. I also wanted to see Hutch maybe beat a double team too. You know, the elite ones do get by them. So he's got a lot of learning, but I mean, he is a rookie, so we give him that pass. But
I want to see Lynn McNeil step
as we mentioned in the last one. Yeah, it's just tougher to watch this team after you make a trade like the Hawk one, where they're definitely. Yeah.
I don't think
they're not all in.
I don't think trading Hawk is necessarily because someone was starting to make an argument against Hawk about like if we were think about it like this way, if we were winning and we were 6-1 right now and Hawk still had the same stat line he had right now. And like the guy then went on to say, you know, then we would have signed him. We'd find a way to sign him or something. I'd be like, no, if we were 6-1 with the same, I think then the argument's the same. Where is he at in his career? Is he the guy you're willing to pay the money he's going to want? And I don't think Holmes was being disingenuous by saying he would have traded him if we were 6-1. I
disagree with that.
I don't know.
If you're 6-1, I don't think you trade away a player like Hawk.
Yeah,
even if you don't think
acquiring
he's
something
at least
else
not
too.
At least not till the offseason.
Yeah.
He still has the extra year of control.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would
unless we could get, we were also might be buyers elsewhere but at that point. But I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Brad is going to say what Brad's going to say. I don't know. I'd love to see the Lions execute, man. I feel like they've not shown us that just rushing four is going to get to the quarterback, but maybe this week things will magically change. Fortunately,
perhaps.
I just don't think this defense is very good.
Hey, that's something we haven't really tried. Magic.
Yeah.
That's what this team needs. Some magic. Not better football players, not better coaching, not more touchdowns. We need
to go
that's
find a
need.
Cave in magic. Massachusetts and go find a witch or something that can cast a spell on this team.
I think that's probably what already happened. I think that's the problem. We need to kill the witch that cursed us.
That's such a good point. Bobby Lane went on a long.
Yeah, he went to the cave.
He went to the cave.
Well, if we go dig up Bobby Lane's body, well, it's Halloween's over. I mean, maybe, I don't know. Gotta be something.
Bring me the rib of Bobby Lane and I'll end your curse.
Yeah.
This new segment, before we get into our predictions, is called Spilling the Kool-Aid with our Lady Lions. So we'll introduce them here now.
Hello, Lions fan. We are the Lady Lions, and we are here to spill the Kool-Aid. We're here with Little G.
Yo.
And J-Dog. And I'm J-Dog. So we have some things we got to talk about this week. But the first off is probably the biggest news of the week, which is the trade of TJ Hockenson. And, you know, this is a player who is near and dear to our hearts, but very near and dear to our very own Lady Lion, Lil G. So I'm going to let you take this for a minute and tell us, what are your reactions to this trade?
So yesterday was a very emotional day. I don't know if you listeners remember, but on our first pod, Big Z had asked us who our favorite player was, and I said Hockenson, and that's still rang true until yesterday. You're never really prepared for your favorite player to get traded, but and he was my first favorite after Stafford, so I think I have a bit of bad luck. So I'm super, super sad, super emotional, but I know he's gonna do great. I don't want the Vikings to do great, but I know he will do great. I don't really have a favorite player right now, so I'm in the market for one. But, you know, I think with all the changes happening, I might just kind of feel it out for a couple games, see what happens.
You're in the market. So, you know, these players listen to this pod, they're going to have to really, like, up their game to get on your list.
Yeah, yeah.
You're, like, potential suitors, but it's, like, your potential favorite players.
Right, it's, like, kind of like the Bachelor, but for favorite players. I'll be giving out roses every week until only one stays.
I think maybe we do the Bachelor for Little G's favorite player. And by you pick one, I think this will be great.
I actually think this might be a new segment we've come up with.
Just right off the, we got this. All right, so, you know, we felt like, you know, not only did we have to talk about TJ Hockenson a little bit, but we also, you know, we've talked since yesterday, and I just want to share with our, you know, the listeners right now, just a little ode to TJ Hockenson. So here it is, an ode to TJ Hockenson. We loved Hock. He was so great. He wore the number 88. He ran so fast. His hair was so long. Not seeing him on Sunday will just feel wrong. Good luck, Hockenson, and all you do next, but, man, we're going to miss you.
Ain't that the truth? That was beautiful, J-Dog. Oh, just beautiful.
Thank you. He deserved it. He was a good guy.
He was.
I mean, he is, but he was a good Lion, I
yes,
should say.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, yes, he's still with us, just not with the Lions.
Yeah. It feels like that. Oh, anyways. Okay, well, moving on to some important business, as especially in the Lady Lions arena, is our follow of the week.
Woo!
Yeah, so Lil, do you want to take that?
Yes, so our follow of the week this week is at It's Isabel Ford. She is Penei Sewell's girlfriend and also currently expecting a baby. So it's super, super exciting news. And actually, if anyone saw the practice report today, Sewell was out for personal reasons. So, J-Dog, what do we think this means?
Well, I think this leads us directly into our content prediction. So, what are you predicting for our content predictions this week, Lil G?
So, this is a big one, J-Dog, a big one. I think today Sewell was out of practice because Isabel gave birth or is giving birth in the next, like, call it 24 hours. And we are going to have a new O-line baby, our second in 2 weeks.
Man, okay, so like how many O-line babies do we need to start winning games? That's the real question.
I was wondering that too, especially in this past game when we kept the O-line kept getting penalized over and over again. I think that they all need babies to kind of, you know, get their heads right.
Yeah, something to fight for. Like, something to go out there and knock over in black and protect, you know, our quarterback. Well, that is probably the most exciting prediction for sure.
Yes.
But just to not copy you, I had to think, like, scrap for something else. And I'll have to say, this is not only a content prediction for me, but also a new favorite follow, I think.
Ooh.
Is the Skipper family, another O-lineman. So our O-linemen, you know what? They're just solid. Let's just, you know, if we're realizing anything, our O-line is just pretty solid as far as on the field, but also with their content that they produce online. So the Skipper family recently had twin boys. And last week they went to the game and they were wearing like Skipper's number and they were like holding them up like little lions. And it was really cute. So my prediction for this week is we'll get more cute twin boy Skipper content. So that's my content prediction for this week.
They can get on the Cub cam at Ford Field.
They need to. I feel like they said in their last one that they were like trying but didn't work out. So hopefully this week maybe they'll get on the Cub cam.
Hopefully we have a listener who like works at Ford Field and can make this happen for us, because they deserve it.
They absolutely deserve it. He's been playing hard and they seem like a really cute couple. So
yes.
Anyways, well, that's really all for spilling the Kool-Aid this week. Any closing thoughts?
You know, I am just hoping for some wins here, J-Dog. I was feeling a little down in the dumps after Hawk and all this. But luckily, we've got some good content online to, you know, keep us positive about these Lions. And I do think that we're going to turn it around.
Amen to that, sister. All right. Well, let's close this out. Ready?
All right. One, two, three. Go Lions!
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, gentlemen, so let's get into it now. Let's get to our ever-famous predictions.
Whoa.
So the Lions, 4-point underdogs at home, over-under 49.5. As always, in recent Lions history, that over-under is huge, especially when they play at home in Detroit. And it goes over every time. And I don't have the stats up with me, but at least the last five have gone over at home for the Lions. So, anyways. Let's give our ever famous predictions, and we'll start with Connor.
I think this is a very intriguing matchup. The Packers are struggling. We're struggling. I think Goff's going to be a little more consistent. I think the running game will get going. I think we'll get two rushing touchdowns at least. I think it's going to be a very close game. This is a very specific prediction. I think it's going to be 28-27. Packers miss the game-tying extra point with seconds remaining, and we miraculously come away with the victory in the final seconds.
Wow. Fascinating. So you have it going over.
Yeah.
And the Lions winning. All right. Let's go to you, Jay.
All right. I also think it's going to be a fairly close and fairly high-scoring game, too. I think we still score a lot of points, even without Hawk there. Our running game is going to be dynamic in this one. Jamal gets a couple touchdowns. Goff gets a couple touchdown passes. I think 35-28. And I think our defense is going to rise to the occasion, make a couple key stops when they really need it. Maybe a pick, maybe a fumble. I don't know. But, I think the defense is going to rise to the occasion in this game and frustrate the hell out of Rodgers. And like I said earlier, I'm predicting 5 sacks. He's going to get frustrated. And I don't know, in his career, there are times when he gets super frustrated. It's really fun to watch because then he kind of loses his shit, and it's really fun. And I think it's going to be one of those days, too, because, you know, he sees a team that he should never lose to, and he's going to be losing to him, and it's going to just eat him up. It's going to be great to watch. So, 35-28, Lions are going to pull this one out. with a decent performance by the defense when they need it.
All right, let's go to Rud Dog.
All right. I'm going to make a prediction that goes beyond this game. You know, we talk about how the Lions are what, you know, cures what ails you and all that, but I think this is going to be the game that marks a turning point, not only for the Detroit Lions, but their relationship with the Packers and the rest of the league. The Packers are going to become the team that fixes what ails you. And this week, they're going to fix what ails the Lions. This defense is going to come out, baby, and they're going to harass Aaron Rodgers. They're going to shut him down. His receivers aren't going to be able to find room to breathe. The running game's just never going to get started, and it's going to be a game from whistle to whistle, complete performance from our defense, and they're going to shut him out for 0 points. Meanwhile, on the other side, the offense is going to finally put things together and just find a nice, consistent, efficient game, and they're going to get back to that 35-point margin, but instead they're going 42 points, 42 to nothing. This is going to be what it fixes the Lions, and that's going to send them on to our 11-6 record this year, and we can put all this, you know, worry about Campbell to rest.
So, earlier we were saying the Lions could care what cures the Packers, but you're saying
it's going to flip, baby.
You're going to care what ails the Lions.
Exactly.
All right. I love that turnaround. That's beautiful.
Excellent. Yeah, this is going to be I actually like the matchup a lot for this one. The Packers lack a lot of the things that the Lions have struggled with, minus the run game. If the Lions can really shut down this run game, force the Packers to pass, oddly enough, even with Aaron Rodgers, this receiving core is not good. And our secondary has been bad. So I do like the matchup for the Lions here. And I think they win this one outright. I'm going to go with 27-20 Lions at home with the victory. So nice, easy win. Jared Goff will be kneeling this one out.
Ooh.
Lions back on the board. They get the 2 wins. They probably move to, like, I don't know, 8th pick in the draft or something like that. The Lions have the hardest strength of schedule, so any tiebreaker with another 2-6 team, the Lions will unfortunately lose that in draft order.
I hate that. That's so dumb.
Yeah, it is dumb. There should be another metric, like eye test or something like that. I don't know.
Wait, what causes them to lose?
Strength of schedule.
The Lions lose draft position because of the tougher the strength of schedule you have, the lower the draft position you get in a tiebreaker.
That's lame.
Yeah.
It's all based on last year's metrics too, right?
I think it's end of season,
year's records,
right?
I mean,
strength of schedule.
It's this season's.
When all said and done.
But what I mean, this year's this season's strength of schedule is always based on last season's record.
But this season will be done, so they can look at the whole record and see who had.
Oh, so it will be based on the end.
Like the Lions have lost to the Dolphins, the Eagles. I mean, a lot of teams with winning records, so their strength of schedule is way above everybody else. Right now. Also, their strength. Every other team's strength of schedule goes up when we lose, or our strength.
Right.
We're giving them a win every time, but anyways.
True.
So that's it. Those are our predictions. I know Bob couldn't be here, but he also predicts a Lions victory as well. So yet again, we are on a major rut right now. We haven't gotten a win in a few weeks, so we are looking forward to this.
Really use one.
So we'll wrap things up here, but before we do, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, please leave a review. Always greatly appreciate that. SidelineReport.com. Go on there. You can also access our podcast from there. Also, go check out their articles, and thank you for them for hosting the podcast. And Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at Drinking Lions. Go on there. Let us know your predictions for this week's game. And of course, not last but not least, thank you to our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid J.
Kid
J. For producing the podcast and always doing a fantastic job, especially this week where this is our third episode of the week. So big load.
Yeah.
We got it done. Giving that content for the people, for the fans, for the Blue Kool-Aid drinkers.
Pretty soon we could run out of beer to pay Kid J. What are we going to do? I don't know, man.
Yeah. So All right, we'll wrap it up. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be a great start to your November.
Lions Dubs always a great start.
Holidays right
No Shave before. November. Yeah, get absolutely. Those beards out there.
That's right.
Yeah, baby.
That's right.
How you doing?
Absolutely. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go! Yo,
go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.